We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom, the podcast where you explore ABA, or Applied Behavior Analysis, in everyday lives and everything in between. I'm your host, Allie, BCBA, mom of five, and your go-to for all things ABA. Today, I'm thrilled to introduce our guest, Melanie Shank. Melanie is not only a fellow BCBA, but also a life coach and remarkable trainer for your brain. You can find her on social media under her handle For Life Coaching, where she shares insights and strategies to help you unlock your full potential. Welcome, Melanie.
Hey, thanks for having me, Allie.
Yeah, so excited to have you today. So let's go ahead and dive in. As a BCBA and life coach, you wear a lot of hats. Can you tell us a little bit more about your journey and how you became a life coach after becoming a BCBA?
For sure. I, like probably many other BCBAs out there, kind of grew up in what I would say is like the traditional BCBA route. I got started working with kids with autism, and I've done everything from like home therapy to some school consultations, and most recently have spent a lot of time in the clinics. I've held all kinds of different roles, from direct clinician to clinical director. I even was a recruiter for a company for a while, which was a fun little change. And I've even been blessed with the opportunity to be a co-founder and owner of an ABA clinic that's local here. However, you know, all of those things have been really wonderful and have had such an impact on my life. And there's such a need for, you know, support for individuals that are diagnosed with autism and other disabilities. But for me, I just found that I was really kind of getting burnt out working with that population and doing the same thing over and over again, which I hate to say because there is such a need there. But at some point, we have to kind of look into ourselves and see like what is it that gives us passion and fire. And for me, something that has always really inspired me is like the health and wellness sector. So I've been kind of over the last several years, I'm taking different CEU courses and just kind of trying to dabble in like, what is it that I can do and what can I offer to the world? And so recently, I decided to step away from being a business owner in terms of the clinic, and I decided to start my own coaching business. So one thing that I really wanted to focus on was executive function, which is a little bit different. It's certainly life coaching because executive function has to deal with all different realms of your life. But as someone who was diagnosed with ADHD a couple years ago, I've had my own challenges with executive function. And so it's been a challenge, but a blessing to be able to navigate that on my own, figure out things that work for me or don't work for me. And I just want to be there as a support for others, whether they have an ADHD diagnosis or not, because everybody deals with executive dysfunction in some fashion or format. And I think just bringing awareness to that and being able to help provide support is something I want to be able to do.
That's really awesome. And you know, it's funny you mentioned the ADHD diagnosis because I also have the same diagnosis, and I've met a lot of BCBAs that have an ADHD or autism diagnosis.
So it's funny how we find ourselves in the field, right?
Exactly. I think that's a lot of how we find ourselves in the field. And even, you know, when I was undergrad for psychology, there was always some underlying as like, you know, I either know somebody with a mental illness or I have mental illness. So, you know, there's always, I think you go into the field for a reason. But I love that you're helping with that executive functioning, because I think that's so important. And it sounds like even though you moved away from kind of directly working with kiddos with autism, you're still helping, like you can still help individuals with that diagnosis too, with working with specifically executive functioning. So what do you say, like what kind of strategies do you use to help people achieve their goals?
So one of the things I really love about this new venture is, I was going to say everything is individualized, but I feel like in the decades, almost two decades of being a BCBA, we constantly talk about like individualizing programs for kids, right? But here in my new sector, I feel like everything is super personalized to the point that my clients are the ones that are leading their treatment, so to speak, or their action. And so it's really about, I might have an idea of, what things I can kind of notice or what things I see on their assessments of areas that they want to focus on. But just because someone may be scored lower or has a challenge in one executive function area, maybe that's not an area that is important to them right now, and they want to focus on a different area, and that's completely okay. It's really about following their journey and where their motivation is, because I've done a lot of learning in my years, and you cannot force people to change, right? It seems we can inspire people and we can encourage people, but individuals do not want to make changes in their lives unless they are the ones that are deciding that. So, in order to do that, you have to build connections and relationships with people to see what it is that they want to work on. So, I have some individuals that want to work on, eating healthier, not eating out as much, and want to do focus on home cooked meals. Or maybe they just want to get up and move around, and they're not setting these huge laborious goals of like running a marathon in 3 months, which is a beautiful goal, but theirs might just simply be getting up and, going on a walk or doing some kind of exercise for 10 minutes one day a week just to get started. So it's neat, because not everybody is really focused on exercise and meal planning as well. It might be more of blocking your time and being able to follow a schedule so you're not overwhelmed at work, or figuring out how to navigate impulse shopping, which is something I can relate to as well. So again, it just really depends on the individuals, and it's been super fun to kind of navigate some things that are a little bit different than what you would teach in like the traditional ABA setting. Even though those skills are important, and for us as adults, we know that there are so many other things that we struggle with that don't just involve being in a classroom or dealing with academics or dealing with, ADLs. There are a lot of other things and a lot of other environments that we can focus on improving those skills.
I love that. And I love how you kind of mentioned, like, it sounds like there's like a lot of community base too. So whatever it is that you want to work on, it sounds like, it could be several different environments, whether that's out in the community or in home. So do you primarily work, like, do you, is your clientele primarily adults?
So yes, the youngest I feel like I would typically work with is someone like a college student. So still like over the age of 18, but I kind of look at folks in like different demographic categories, so to speak. College students versus someone who's a professional or a young professional, maybe in a career transition. You've got like your everyday adults as well that maybe are brand new parents or just moved somewhere, going through some kind of life transition, all the way through even someone who maybe is so kind of done with their career phase and they're looking at moving into retirement and this new transition in their life. And again, executive function impacts us all so differently, but especially across all those different phases in our life. So just being here to support, for me, things that worked for me in college were great, but those things don't work for me now. I'm a parent and I work, and I need to find different skills, and skills that worked for me 2 months ago sometimes don't work for me now. And so I think having someone that can encourage and kind of walk you through, like, it's okay if things aren't working for you right now. Let's figure out what does work for you. And let me, let's figure out how to help keep you accountable or how to find new ways to be able to navigate and deal with these things.
Absolutely love that. And I think that's so true. Like, looking back, it's like, yeah, that doesn't always work for me. Like, my elementary is always like, oh, you were off task and, you weren't paying attention. And I was like, I could never figure it out because I'm like, no, like, I'm trying to listen. But then, I'm looking at like somebody else is having a conversation behind me or there's like something on the wall or whatever. But I didn't get my ADHD diagnosis until I was an adult. I'm like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So I spent a lot of time, what they, masking kind of that and trying to the best of my abilities, kind of deal with that. But I did find that once I became a parent, like you were a parent, it became so much harder because I couldn't, maintain that anymore. There were too many other external factors, my children, like in my life, my environment was changing. It definitely, and that's really when I started to realize, okay, there's something I need to do that's different. And not only that, I mean, medication certainly helps, but it's nice to have those tools. And I, it would be awesome to have a life coach because sometimes it's just, what works for you one day or one month isn't going to work over time.
Absolutely. And I love hearing your story because for me, my ADHD journey was a bit different. Like
Okay.
I always did really well in school. I was a hard studier. I don't really remember ever being like hyperactive in class or being distracted. I feel like for me, a lot of my symptoms were very like internal and talking about masking. I definitely learned to just kind of navigate like, how do I fit in and where do I fit in? But internally, I struggled a lot with like racing thoughts and negative thought cycles and being stressed and overwhelmed. And just like you said, I became a parent. And when you have a parent, when you have a child, you have to focus on them, right? And so
Right.
your self kind of takes like a back seat and a back burner. And that's okay for a little while. But when you start kind of stepping back in, you have all these other things. It's not just you and your life you're juggling. You're now juggling one or multiple humans' lives. And so it gets very overwhelming. And I kind of hit the same point too, where I was like, this cannot be how I'm supposed to live my life. It cannot be that I go all day and I come home from work and I can't even spend time with kids because I have to go ahead and
Right.
get in bed because I'm so exhausted because I've
Yeah.
been on it all day, right? And so that's when I pursued my diagnosis. And I agree. I think there's a time and place for medication. I think that is absolutely a personal choice for everyone. Myself, I choose to medicate right now because that is something that helps keep me going while I'm working on some of these different skills and finding what is working for me and what's not. And then as I'm putting those things into place, then I can go ahead and look at eventually coming off of medication. But there's a time and place for all of it. So
Yeah.
I think what's really important is acknowledging that too and having someone who doesn't know you so personally, that is like a little bit of an unbiased person that can say like,
Right.
it
That's a
is
good point.
okay. It's okay if you feel like you failed today because your kids were late to school and you were running out of the house and you didn't make a homemade meal and you on the way home you grabbed McDonald's. Like it's okay because life lives. And so I think having somebody that can help encourage you through those moments and just say like, okay, then obviously something's not connecting here. Let's figure out what that is and let's help get you through that rather than feeling like you have to just do that on your own on top of all these feelings of being overwhelmed and burned out and whatnot.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. And I think as parents, whether or not you have like the ADHD diagnosis or not, like we've all felt that way. It's just
Yes.
burnout because now you're caring for other people outside of yourself. But that was so interesting what you said is just kind of like you're kind of done coming home from work. 'Cause I remember so many times like just coming home and being like, okay, I need to take a nap, like a reset, like at least 30 minutes before I can do anything. And I think too, as a parent, sometimes we feel guilty. Because it's like now I'm taking time for myself instead of my kids. You've been on the go all day, you worked hard, and now you need a little rest or you need a little break for a little bit. But parents, that's a struggle, like trying to not feel that guilt. So, what do you, for motivation, because I think that's a huge one too, what kind of strategies do you use to help those that really lack motivation?
Great
I'm one of
question.
them, by the way.
Again, I mean, motivation is going to ebb and flow. I mean, for me, there was a time period in my life where I was really motivated to get up and get out of the house and do workouts and go do yoga. And you know what? Like right now, that's not my thing. I'm not motivated to get outside and sweat. I don't want to wake up early and go for a walk. Yoga sounds nice, but like driving to a studio in the morning is just not what I want to do. And so, again, it's part of life and it's kind of an ebb and flow, where your
Yeah,
motivation
that's a great point.
And again, I think acknowledging that is okay because people get frustrated. Like I've definitely been frustrated with myself when I'm like, man, like why can't I just get up out of bed and go walk for 10 minutes? But it's just not what I want to do. And there's competing contingencies in your life all the time. I'd rather roll out of bed, make a cup of coffee and snuggle with my cat than get up and go walk. And that's
Yeah.
the time period that I'm in right now. And so again, this is where like building that relationship and connection with people to figure out, okay, well, it is all right if you're feeling frustrated over that. Is that what we want to focus on then right now? If you're not motivated to focus on that, even though the world and everyone will tell you, getting up and going for a 10-minute walk is so healthy for you, eating, however many fruits and vegetables a day is healthy for you. If you are not motivated for that, we can use all the strategies and talk about all the strategies in the world. You're not going to do them because you're not
Right.
motivated to take action. And so I think some of that, some of the worksheets that and exercises I have people work through really get into, like, why do you want to focus on this? Why is this an area that is important to you? What is your why behind it? Because if you can come back to that, then even when maybe you do decide, okay, getting up and walking and being physical is something that I am motivated to do right now. And then a weekend, you know, the sixth day you're waking up, you're like,
right,
man, I really don't want to get up today. You know, you can go back to that why and remember that. And again, I think, you know, acknowledging competing contingencies is super important. That might be my goal right now, but in 2 weeks, maybe, you know, something happens at home with one of my daughters and my focus needs to shift from getting up and doing that to spending some quality time with my daughter because she's going through something different. And so my goal needs to shift, and that's okay. And I think for me, that was something as a BCBA growing up in the traditional ABA world, I kind of struggled like grappling with as kind of moving into this coaching sector, because I think we're very used to, which makes sense, setting goals and following through, right? We have mastery right. criteria and then maintenance and generalization. And yes, maintenance and generalization are super important, but life just does not work on this, you know, 3 days or 4 days at 80% and then you've mastered it. And, you know, it might be that someone doesn't finish that goal that they set right then and there. The goal isn't just to finish goal A and then move on to goal B and move on to goal C. It's about making your life feel positive and you feeling successful and you feeling like you have as much control as possible, you know, over your life.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means acknowledging that, you know what, I thought this is the goal I wanted to work on. I was doing okay on it, but I feel like I really need to shift right now to this. And that is okay. It is okay to make changes. What's not okay is when you go, oh, man, I had this goal, but I don't want to do this anymore. And now I quit and I'm not going to do anything, or what I was doing wasn't working. So now I'm just going to quit and I'm just going to sit and, you know, dwell on that and just be mad because I'm not doing anything. When you stop moving is when you're in trouble and when you're not making progress. So
right.
you can still move forward, even if that moving forward is shifting and then moving forward on a new goal.
That I love that too, that the goals can change, that there's so much flexibility with that, because I will tell you right now that sometimes insurance, I'm pretty sure they hate me because I will start, you know, a kiddo on a goal and, you know, we don't move to like the next objective, or now we're like, we're just not doing that anymore. Like
yep.
that's not a goal that we need to work on, and that's not our focus. And so there's a lot of like, this goal is on hold and there's no, or, you know, we've removed this goal, and then having to kind of explain that rationale. I totally, you know, I know insurance likes to see that, and like, we are very data driven. Like that's a part of our field too. So we want to like have the data to support like where they are as far as mastery for goals. But I think too, just that life part, that sometimes like we're not working on that anymore. Like we've changed directions. We're not, that's not something that either, you know, it could be a motivation that we're not wanting to achieve anymore, or it's just not important to the value of our life. So it's not socially significant anymore.
I was just going to say that term keeps coming to mind. And I was the same way. Like I struggled with that as a BCBA working with insurance too, because I mean, I might have this beautiful plan, but when you start working through a goal and you start discovering that child a bit more, you may learn of other strengths and weaknesses, or you learn from the family, like, okay, we actually need to move in this direction instead of that direction. And that is okay. And I understand insurance, again, needing the data and needing all of that for medical necessity and whatnot, making sure that we're doing things systematically. But, you know, like we've talked about lives. And part of what I want people to be able to enjoy now in my coaching business is this whole journey and process of discovering yourself and maybe finding that, okay, you know what? The world says that everyone needs to work out, but maybe work out looks different for me, or self-care
right.
is super important, but it doesn't mean I have to go on a huge trip or go get massages every week. Like that's going to
look different. Nice.
It does sound nice, right? If only. But it just, that is not life, right? Mm-hmm. We have to find what is going to work for us, and being able to give somebody the space to sit and amidst all of the busy life of being an adult and maybe a parent or going back to school and working and, you know, being involved in church and traveling, driving your kids around to sports practices, amidst all of that, being able to give somebody the space to sit for 45 minutes and focus on them and go, okay, this is what is important to me. this is what I want to tackle, or I have no idea what I want to tackle. This is just where I'm struggling. And being able to just dissect that with someone is just really what I'm shooting for here.
No, I love that. I love it. And, you know, success like looks different for everybody. But I think a lot of what you're saying too is just taking that time for self-care and that time for yourself is so important. Even if you have, you know, you're a parent and you have other priorities, obviously, like just having that time for yourself is so important, but also can just look different for different people. The mindset, like in achieving success, how do you feel that that plays into ABA?
I mean, I think there definitely is the motivation and kind of like that terminal goal, right? That someone right. would kind of come out of life and go, yes, I was successful. I did all the things I wanted to do. And so I think being able to define what that success means for that person in that time frame for them is part of what helps keep people motivated. And it also gives us a goal to be able to work towards. So again, as a traditional VCBA, I am a data nerd. I love graphs. I love tracking all of the data. But you know what? People that are outside of our field don't walk around with clickers on their hips all the time. And they're not using timers all the time. And I know it's so sad because I used to keep clickers in my car all the time. But again, it's not real life. Other humans are not doing that. And that's okay. There are other ways that we can track data. With some of my programs, I use an app that has like habit trackers in there, and I can customize those for my clients. So they have check-ins, whether they want to do, yeah, like daily or weekly check-ins. So depending on what those clients' goals are, they can go ahead and track that information, and I still get graphs in there. And, you know, maybe I can't add face change lines, although I try to kind of make face change lines because, you know, I love a good graph like that. But being able to show that progress of someone, hey, your goal was to do one day a week, and you know what, you've been doing exercise for 2 days a week, you know, and being able to help inspire and show people you are doing it. Because again, reactivity is a thing, right? And I think it reminds me of when I used to meet during parent trainings, and I know that, you know, a parent had concern X, but when I meet with them, they don't even bring that concern up because earlier that day, their child had this huge, massive meltdown, and that's right. The only thing that parent can think about now, right? So again, it's the same thing for us as humans. I might still be meeting my goal, but everything seems like it's falling apart around me, or I'm so distracted by all these things that I don't even realize that I am hitting my goal or maybe even surpassing my goal. So being able to help keep folks accountable with that, hey, you actually are meeting this, or how do you want to quantify and track and keep yourself accountable for
right.
this? So that way you can work towards whatever this terminal goal is.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for today for sharing. I think this is super insightful, and I always love having BCBAs on that, you know, kind of just outside the traditional medical model too. So I love that you're pursuing this, and I can't wait to hear like all your success stories. This is awesome, and you're going to help a lot of people.
Thank you so much.
So for our listeners, where can they find you online?
Yeah, sure thing. So my website is For Life Coaching, and I'm a millennial, so I spell it a bit like a millennial. So it's for like the number, life with a Y, so LYFE, and then coaching is spelled as normal. So forlifecoaching.com is my website. It's got all kinds of information on there. You can book even awesome. A free discovery call just to kind of learn more about, you know, what kind of services I can provide, and just kind of seeing if, you know, this is something that you want to pursue and how this is going to work for you. What is it that you're looking for? And, you know, how can we go ahead and make that work? But I also am on social media. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook under at For Life Coaching. And I'm also on LinkedIn under my own personal name. But right now I'm kind of sticking with Instagram and Facebook and connecting with people on there. I agree. It's been such a joy as someone who's been in the field for many years, almost 2 decades, which is absolutely insane for me to say. There is so much that you can do with ABA. It's an incredible field. I feel like just unfortunately, everything gets very pigeonholed into autism, which again, there is such a need. And I'm so grateful that insurance companies are right. helping provide those services. But there is so much more outside of autism. Over yeah. the last several years, I've seen a lot more of OBM and health and wellness and pet training. You know, there are so many things we can do, and I think it's really important in order for our field to grow that we're disseminating that kind of information. And it's scary stepping outside of the autism world. I mean, take it from someone who's doing it. It's intimidating and it's scary, and it's like, are people actually going to want this or do this? But taking the chance and stepping out and being able to provide and disseminate ABA in a different way is something
Right.
I'm so passionate about. And there are a lot of people out there that are passionate about it too. So if you don't know where to start, connect with people on social media, have conversations, talk to someone, you know, feel, even if you don't want coaching, I'm so happy to collaborate with folks. And I had someone the other day that contacted me and they're like, I'm just so burnt out on this, but I'm looking at doing this other thing. And we just kind of chatted about like, what could this look like for you? Yeah, so super exciting.
No, that's awesome. And I'm going to also attach in the show notes too how to contact you, including your website and your Instagram, and you said Facebook as well.
Yes.
Facebook. Okay. So just remember, you're not alone in this journey. Embrace in the chaos, celebrate little wins, and don't hesitate to seek support. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure thing. Thank you so much for having me again, Allie. It was a pleasure.